Hello and welcome to The Call. It's Tom Breeze here, and in today's call we have Phil Turtle on the line from the Turtle Consulting Group. Now, Phil has been in the PR industry for over 20 years now, and in that time he's worked with some of the UK's largest businesses in the tech, B2B and trade industries. Not only that, he now teaches entrepreneurs and business owners how to do their own publicity. The Turtle Consulting Group is widely renowned as the PR agency that editors recommend. And today, I have the privilege of grilling Phil and finding out more information about the PR industry and how it all works. So, Phil, welcome to the call.
Thank you, Tom.
Can I send the same press release I might have to my local paper or local radio and also my trade sector magazines as well?
It would be nice if you could. But if you remember what I said, that this is about providing relevant information to the particular media's audience or readership, then no, you can't. Okay. You can keep the you can keep some of the same content, of course, because the story is much the same. But you need to tailor it for each different type of media. So if it's for the local paper, then it needs to have some local information and local slant to it. If it's for a specialist trade medium, say, I don't know, Cabling Weekly, then it needs to focus on the technical side of stuff. If you've also got an opportunity, because let's say you've done cabling in a listed building, so you might be able to get that same story into an architectural magazine or a building magazine. But again, you'd have to switch it around and put the building slant first. In the trade, we call it topping and tailing. So you take a standard press release and you change the top bit and the bottom bit to be relevant to the particular medium that you're sending it to. Of course, if you're sending it to a radio or even a newspaper, then you actually need to cut some of the information out, because remember, the purpose of that is to whet their appetite to phone you to actually do an interview.
So you're releasing small bits of information to them because you know that it just needs to...
You need the teaser because, okay, in a newspaper, you can send them a press release and they'll run a tidbit. But the only way to get half a page is to actually be interviewed by the reporter. And obviously for the radio, almost everything is done on interviews. So you need to get them ringing you, and it may only be a 2-minute slot, it may be a 15-minute slot. But you need to get them interested, get them ring you, and then of course you need to have your bio and your question sheet standing by for those.
How can you be prepared for a call from the media?
Okay, well, of course, the last thing you want is a journalist ringing you up and you go, can I get back to you on that? Because instantly they know you're not a professional, you don't know what you're doing, and you're probably wasting their time. So there are a couple of things that you can do before you actually send out your press release, so that you're absolutely ready for those calls and that will set you up to be a good interviewee. The first one of those is to have what we call a bio sheet, biography or little mini CV, which tells them the reasons why you're good to interview. So it will tell them why it is that you're an expert in your subject, how long you've been doing whatever it is. So you've been running the best bakery in town or the best bike shop in town, and you've been doing that for 20 years. You've built 500 bikes, you've won so many shows. That sort of thing makes you interesting. If you've already done press, radio or TV interviews, then put those on your bio sheet as well, because that tells them that other people have interviewed you and got a good deal, so they know you're a good subject for interviewing. The other thing to give them, these are all very busy people, these reporters, is a question sheet, which has maybe 6 to 10 questions that you can answer. Now, how good is this? You're giving them the questions to ask you, so there's going to be no nasty surprises, and it's questions that their audience will need or want to know the answers to. And the last question that you put on the bottom of that sheet is the most important one, and that is, how can they buy your thing, whether it's a product, a service, a seminar, a book? And if you play the game right, then the interviewer will ask you that question at the end.
Great, okay. So you're kind of into... So you have your bio sheet, you have your questions, and once you have them, and you'll hopefully have a question from the journalist at that point, or from the media saying, okay, well, where can I find out more?
Exactly, and then you can say, you can buy my book on Amazon, or my website address is www.somethingorother, or my phone number is, and they know the game. It's a two-way street. You help them, they will help you.
How do you get the best PR results if, or in your industry or specialist magazine? So how do you get the best PR results?
That needs a bit of homework. PR isn't just a sling it out and hope it works activity. You do have to do some work. And before you talk to any editor or provide any editor with news, you really ought to do him the service of having read his magazine or newspaper and try to understand how he works and how the magazine works. And there's a very simple way of doing that. It's quite old-fashioned, but what you do is you get three copies of the magazine and a pad of those little yellow stickies, and you read them, but you read them from two points of view. What's the structure of the magazine? What sections are there in it? What regular topics does he cover? And what are the sort of things that, we could do something along those lines? Now, by the time you've been through three copies, you've got a very good idea of how his magazine works, what things he likes, what things don't seem to appear. And you can very quickly put yourself a little plan together of similar things based on your topic rather than the competitors you've been reading about. But then you're in a very good position to come up with ideas of articles or ideas of press releases that he's going to like. And then once you've done that, there's absolutely no reason why you can't pick up the phone, have a word with him, say, right, I'm new to PR. We're such and such a company. We fit into your readership and we've got all this good information. And I've had these three ideas for possible articles or possible news pieces. What do you think? And he'll give you 10 minutes. And because you're new, he'll be a little bit more, or a little bit less critical than he might otherwise be. And he'll give you pointers. And they are very helpful if you get them on the right day. Oh, one other point I must say. If you ring an editor, the first thing you must say is, after I'm Joe Bloggs, can you speak? Because these people live on deadlines. And if he's up against the deadline, he's not going to be able to speak to you. It's not he doesn't want to, but, you know, he's got 15 people screaming at him to get stuff on the printing press tomorrow morning. And talking to you, he can do the day after tomorrow when it's all happened. Yes. So can you speak? And if he says no, okay, when would be a good time?
Great, okay. That's very clever, because if you find out exactly what the editor wants and what their natural pattern of putting it together, some sort of publication, whether it be a magazine or whatever it might be, it's very clever to work out what they want and then you're almost reverse engineering it and saying, well, okay, if that's what you want, here's my article as a result.
Absolutely. And do you know what? That's how proper sales works. Mm. Sales isn't about going and battering somebody with a hard sell. It's actually about listening to them, understanding what they need, marrying up what you can do to what they need, and then you've got what's called a solution sell. Mm. And to be honest, editorial placement is just that. It's a solution sell. You need this. I've got that. Hey, don't the two marry well together?
Exactly. Yeah.
Shall we do some business?
It makes sense to do the business and feature the article. Okay. Brilliant.
Yep.
Like it. How should I respond if a journalist emails me with a question?
Okay. Well, first of all, you should be excited, because it's really good when a journalist is taking interest in the story that you've probably sent through on a press release. Yeah. And the first thing you must do is respond immediately. These guys, a lot of them work on very, very short deadlines. Now, the thing is, even if you can't give him the answer immediately, fire back an email that says, got your email, I'll get back to you by such and such a time with the answer. Or if you can't answer it for some reason, be honest, say, I can't answer that one. But we could speak, we could talk through, and I could give you a different angle.
Okay.
When you say, I can get back to you by such and such a time, add to that, is that soon enough? Because, as I say, some of these people, like the radio and TV people, they're working on deadlines of minutes or hours at the most. A newspaper, you might have an hour, 2 hours, and a magazine, you might have a whole day. But you need to understand and work with their deadlines, because they cannot wait for you.
What if I need to get a story into the media that's not hot news? What do I do then?
Okay, so editorial, you will only get news, something that's current, something that's a topic of interest, that's current affairs, except for just occasionally in some of the specialist magazines, they will do the occasional, what we call a product roundup. So all the ideas for Christmas or particularly, you know, maybe doing a feature on leather wallets. So you can actually send in some news, or not news, but some facts on your current range of leather wallets. But otherwise, you either buy an advert, and okay, that's expensive, but if we need to get the story out there, then it's worth doing. The problem with an ordinary advert is you can only get 20 or 30 words of what we call copy, the actual words in there. So if you need to get a more complex story out there, what you do is you buy what's called an advertorial. And that's still a page of space, but you write an editorial type story, just as the editor would have written in proper journalese, so matching the style of the magazine exactly. And you then either get your artwork studio, or sometimes the magazine or paper will do this for you. They'll actually set it, typeset it, in exactly the same style as the magazine or newspaper. They will always put at the top of the page advertisement feature. But if you write it so that it's exactly like their normal editorial style, people won't even notice those two words at the top of the page, and they'll read it. And because it's good informative copy, they'll carry on reading. And even if they do notice the advertisement feature words at the top, because you've hooked them into a good story, then they will continue reading. So that's the way to get material in the form of a feature article when the editor won't give you free space because it's not hot current news.
Do you want to kind of give me more of an insight into PR and what's the purpose of a press release?
Okay, well, that depends a little, Tom, on the media outlook that you're trying to get news through. If, for example, we're trying to get onto a radio station or a TV station or into the newspaper, then the idea of the press release is to actually hook the journalist, get them interested in your story, and then get them to actually pick up the phone to you and do an interview. So in that case, it's just a teaser and you don't put all the information in there. You want to leave them excited, interested, but hungry enough to come back to you for more. On the other hand, if you're sending your news out to a trade or a specialist media, like a magazine, then they don't have the time to do all that sort of interview stuff. And they need you to give them the entire news story in that press release so that they can just simply edit it into the space they've got available in their magazine.
Interesting. So it's kind of tailored for the journalist then, really?
That's absolutely right. It's really tailored for their audience. The news has to be relevant to their audience rather than them. But of course, they're looking out for a story that will interest their readers or their viewers or their listeners.
Ah, very good. Okay. So next question then, moving on from that, how can you be prepared for a call from the media?
Okay, well, of course, the last thing you want is a journalist ringing you up and you go, can I get back to you on that? Because instantly they know you're not a professional, you don't know what you're doing, and you're probably wasting their time. So there are a couple of things that you can do before you actually send out your press release so that you're absolutely ready for those calls and that will set you up to be a good interviewee. The first one of those is to have what we call a bio sheet, biography or little mini CV, which tells them the reasons why you're good to interview. So it will tell them why it is that you're an expert in your subject, how long you've been doing whatever it is. So you've been running the best bakery in town or the best bike shop in town, and you've been doing that for 20 years. You've built 500 bikes. You've won so many shows. That sort of thing makes you interesting. If you've already done press, radio or TV interviews, then put those on your bio sheet as well, because that tells them that other people have interviewed you and got a good deal, so they know you're a good subject for interviewing. The other thing to give them, these are all very busy people, these reporters, is a question sheet, which has maybe 6 to 10 questions that you can answer. Now, how good is this? You're giving them the questions to ask you, so there's going to be no nasty surprises, and it's questions that their audience will need or want to know the answers to. And the last question that you put on the bottom of that sheet is the most important one, and that is, how can they buy your thing, whether it's a product, a service, a seminar, a book? And if you play the game right, then the interviewer will ask you that question at the end.
Great, okay. So kind of you have your bio sheet, you have your questions, and once you have them, and you'll hopefully have the question from the journalist at that point, or from the media saying, okay, well, where can they find out more?
Exactly. And then you can say, you can buy my book on Amazon, or my website address is www.something or other, or my phone number is, and they know the game. It's a two-way street. You help them, they will help you.
What should I do from a PR perspective in a crisis?
Okay. It's very important that the owner or the chairman or the most senior person in the company goes to the crisis location immediately and is seen to be taking charge, even though he may not actually be the guy that's best qualified for sorting everything out. That person must be there as well. But it's really important that the most important person in the company is seen to be there, seen to be taking responsibility for everything, because that shows to the outside world that you, the company, think this is really serious and you're putting absolutely everything into sorting it out. You can even use the press to your advantage here, because you've got a plan, you know what you're doing, and it may, you know, it's still going to be a bit all over the place, but you have got a plan that you're working to. And in some circumstances, you might need to set up a crisis phone line for worried relatives. Well, you can actually, that will be part of your plan, so you know how to do it. And you then contact the press and say, there has been this crisis disaster, and here's the phone number. Can you announce it for worried relatives so they can find out what's going on? Now, there's a great PR benefit to that, because you look like you know what you're doing. You look like you're being properly concerned. And there's no bull to it. You actually are, which is really important. Let the press interview the chairman or the owner. It's very important, by the way, make sure that he's press trained well in advance. Because classic case, the I think it was the Shell chairman, wasn't it, when the undersea stuff was all happening, yeah. And he said, "Oh, I'll be so glad when this is over. I need a holiday." Yeah. Of all the things not to say, so he, you'd think he'd be press trained, wouldn't you? But it is very important to know the things to say and the things not to say to the press. So a bit of press training there. Well in advance for all your senior people, well in advance of any crisis happening, is very important. And give the press regular updates. They know they'll, the way they work these days, they'll probably hanging around 24/7. But make sure you schedule an hourly or a 2-hourly or whatever mini press conference at the site where you can make a statement, even if it's only there's no further news, but at least you're keeping them involved. And the fact that you're not trying to exclude them, that you are being seen to be honest, that is the sort of stuff that stops the witch hunts.
Okay, so you're feeding them information and you're keeping in contact.
Yeah, and you're keeping the world at large effectively informed as well.
Great. Okay, good. Let's go on to the next question then. What's the best way to sell my product or service by PR or public relations?
Okay, there's an easy to answer to that one, and that is you don't.
Okay.
PR public relations, it's not like any other selling medium. You know, if you want to sell, you get an advert or you go out and see people. The game with PR is all these media outlets need to give good, useful information to their audience all the time. You know, a newspaper is a daily thing, needs filling up. A radio station's on hour after hour, loads of airspace that needs filling up. They're desperate for stuff. So if you can give them good information that's really useful for their audience, like 20 ways to plan a party for your child, how to look after your car and get it ready for the winter, those sort of things. Now, that's not selling as such. But what it is doing is setting you up as the expert on that. And then if you give them good information that they're passing on to their audience, that's making them look good. And the name of the game, as I mentioned on the previous question, is if you do a good job for them and make them look good, give them give their audience the information they need, they'll give you a plug at the end and tell people, well, so-and-so's obviously the expert at this. He's written a book. It's just out. You can get it on Amazon.
Fantastic. So it's all about giving quality value, quality tip.
Quality value, information. Don't try and sell. The minute you try and sell, they will not want to talk to you ever again.
Okay. To build the relations with everybody.
It's actually let them do the selling for you. You do the information job and they'll actually pop the plug in on the end.
Great, I see.
Yeah?
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. Why is it important to plan for a crisis?
Okay, well, most of us don't think that we're ever going to have crises in our business. Maybe we run a restaurant or a barber's shop or something like that, rather than a big oil company. Now, we all know that oil companies have disasters. There have been several in the news over the last couple of years. But something might just happen. Part of a building might fall and injure one of your customers or one of your staff. If you're in the medical business, a patient might die or be injured. If you're in the restaurant trade, a customer might get food poisoning. Or whatever business you're in, an employee might get in trouble with the police for something completely nothing to do with work, but they, reporters may well be banging on your door wanting to know what and why and how, and very easily putting your business in a bad light. Now, the thing is, when there is a crisis, you will be too busy sorting out that crisis to spend any time thinking about how to deal with the media. So it's very important that not only do you actually know what you're going to say to the media in a crisis, but you actually have a plan for sorting out the crisis itself. Because if something terrible does happen, you don't want to be there scratching your head and thinking, oh my God, what do we do now? So it's really important in every business to have, it needs only to be a fairly outlined plan, maybe 2 pages of bullet points of what you do. So I'd suggest to everybody watching this video, spend an hour or two with your colleagues and just think of the things that could go wrong. And then think of a plan of action of what you would do in that circumstance to fix whatever the crisis is, so that people are ready prepared to know what to do. And having that plan in place means that when or if, please God, one doesn't happen, but if one does happen and the media come asking for information, because you're executing a plan to fix the crisis, you know exactly what to say to them because you just tell them the truth. You say, yes, this thing happened, we're doing this, this, and this. And you look to be in control. And then there won't be a witch hunt.
Yes.
Okay?
That makes a lot of sense. It's good to, I can see that having that plan there, just for the sense of security and your own feeling of confidence when that something like that doesn't happen. But also for dealing with many different angles or wherever the problems might come from is important.
That's right. It takes very little time, really, to sit down and do it. A couple of hours, half a day at the absolute most, and then you're prepared.
Well, Phil, thank you so much for being on the line today. It's been absolutely incredible value, and going through some of those answers, I haven't heard anything like that before, so it's very interesting to see how the world of PR works and also get it from the insights from an expert like yourself. For those viewers and those listeners and those readers that are picking up this information, where can they find out more and what do they need to do?
Okay, well, I think probably the best idea is if they go to bestprselector.com, where we run a service to actually help people either find the right PR agency for what they need or learn to do their own PR, or maybe even if they're a small company, find somebody local as a freelance who can help them with that. And it's a completely free service. There's a very short questionnaire of about 4, maybe 5 questions, just to give us a basic idea of what your business is and what you're looking to achieve. And then we'll get back to you very quickly with some recommendations from that.
Brilliant. So no matter what size your business is, what sort of industry you're looking for, bestprselector.com, did you say?
That's correct, yeah.
Bestprselector.com. Go there, visit that. And of course, they'll be able to find out all the information they need to from there and be guided on what sort of PR they could get for their business.
Exactly. Yeah. Fantastic. And it's a completely free service, Tom.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Phil, thank you very much again. It's been a brilliant interview. Great to connect with you. And we'll look forward to speaking very soon.
My pleasure, Tom. Thank you.